maybe it's not that. Your angels, listen, let me tell you the truth there. Let me ask you a simple question. When the servant of the man of God, Elisha, said, "Alas, my master, how shall we go?" Can you remember that story? When the Syrian soldiers had come to arrest Elisha, let me ask you a question. What was the response of Elisha? I'll give the answer. You know, he said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are against us." Now, let me ask you a question. What was the next prayer he prayed? He said, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." Did God open his eyes? What did he see? He saw chariots. Let me summarize it. He saw soldiers, chariots, defense around them. Let me ask you a question. Did they physically fight? What did those soldiers do? They blinded those people so that they did not know who Elisha was. Physically, they could see. But those chariots did not set anybody on physical fire. No, they just saw it. Did you see anything like that? That one I feel. Just come away. What am I saying? The angels of God don't always walk the way we think. The manifestation of the presence of those soldiers, those spiritual soldiers, was that those men lost their ability to discern. They didn't go physically blind. Because the man asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Thank you, sir. There's one prophet who came in to arrest. Let me come and show you where he is." And they were following him. They could see him. But seeing, they were seeing, but they were not perceiving. What am I saying? The battle of life, that's how it is. When God wants to walk on your side, and his angels are with you, his spiritual soldiers, they will open your eyes. You will see what other people can't see, and that will be a manifestation of the strength and the might of the angels of God that are with you. You know what I said? Don't think that you're just a boy, I'm going to be bad, heavy trouble. Their presence, there will be 100,000 angels. And what will be the manifestation? The manifestation will be that you will see clearly what life will see. And in the heavens, what they have done is that they have fought a strong battle to help you see. When David bragged on the host of heaven, that's what I'm telling you. What the host of heaven did for David was, "David, come, we are going to fight with you and we are going to destroy Goliath and Zion." Now, this is how it will appear physically. Can you see his head? And this one notices his head. Remember, over the last few years, you have trained yourself to become so good so as to sling a stone and not miss, even though you are slinging at the strand of hair. David suddenly remembered that. So now you know what you're going to do, you're going to scorn him. That's all. It appears simple now. But nobody would take a challenge like that, hoping that the stone will not miss. Why David did, this is what I'm going to explain to you, was because the angels of God were round about him. Therefore, he had confidence in, number one, he had a plan, and he had confidence in that plan. Let me tell you something, please. It is not faith that you get up, you don't have any working plan. It's not faith. Please, you understand my point. It is not faith that you get up and you don't have any working plan. Real faith gives you a plan that only you understand. But you have it. But you have it. You know the truth? We have glorified sensationalism and called it faith. God indeed, alright, does strange things. But that's not what he does most of the time. It's possible that David would have gone to Goliath and said, "Hey, and Goliath will just have an attack and die." But did he do that? Let me ask you. Did David defend the whole of Israel by his own strength? What's the answer? Answer me now. There's no trick to it. No. But let me ask you a question. Which battle did you see that David and his men did not have to fight? They fought every battle. They fought every battle. They fought every battle. Listen to me. Thank God for Hezekiah. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That we just find out that soldiers will die at night. In David's time, no soldier died that didn't kill them. I tell that Sennacherib will have come the time of David. He wants to die by his sword. No angel, no, no physical angel will not come down to play with him. David, Joab, Yosef, Abishai, those men love trouble. You know, they're people that just like trouble. They can't understand why they should be peace. They analyzing mercenaries. They exist today. Men like Joab, they exist today. You go to, you know, what they call them, contractors in Afghanistan, they're there. Iraq. They've left Iraq now. Blackwater. What is those that these are men who fight for money? They don't understand peace. He leads a peaceful country that the people are trying to get this out to go. He carries himself, leads his wife and his children, and goes to Afghanistan to go and fight. There are people like that. Joab and Co were like that. They who's the first to fight that giant? I will make you chief of the army. You know that kind of thing. They are saying who wants to risk his life to become chief of the army. The men don't think it's a risk, they think it's an adventure. I'm not looking at something. The spirit of faith in David did not produce men who walk on the road. Oh, you're killing like a glass just there. He said, I'm the people that don't wave my hand over his face. And then that just collapsed. David will go to a school of warfare and give lectures. When you have 10,000 soldiers, like the Lord Jesus said, and your opponent has 20,000, this is how to tackle it. Then he begins to teach. Are you getting my point? He begins to teach. Never take your shot until there are two in the line. He will stop. Now, I'm going somewhere with all of this. The spiritual wisdom, the faith that we have in God, it brings for us practical wisdom. And that is a manifestation of his angelic presence. So when he said 10,000 face 20,000, Jesus didn't say wrong. He said, just settle down and get wisdom from above on how you tackle it. This is plain lesson. There's no power in Nigeria. So doing business is difficult. You've heard it said before. And then some of us say, doesn't mean we won't do business in Nigeria. We are not saying go and start doing business without having an understanding of how you will overcome the power challenge. We didn't say that. People think that when you are walking by faith, it means you walk by presumption. God now. Lightning will strike, amen. And destroy my opponent. No, that's not what God is saying. Because it's settled down. And I will give you wisdom on how to out advertise them without spending half of the money they are spending. There was one man I used to watch in those days on TV. When there's this program, I used to watch, there's a small business today. He used to teach what they call street fighter marketing. He said, don't listen to this. He said, don't outspend your competition. That's an advertisement. He said, outthink them. That listen. I mean, I don't want to give you details, but that's why we're not studying business now. He will explain, look, big companies spend plenty of money advertising. You don't have their money. You have to use the thing you have, your brain. Then the man starts analyzing how, practical example, or how there was a time somebody had this challenge and how the person solved it. Now, why am I telling that story? What God gives you as a believer is that wisdom. And until you get that wisdom, don't use any oboju to do anything. Did you know what I said?
So,
if they tell you everybody that starts this business fails, you start with one premise that you are blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Start with one premise, you are blessed. Amen?
Amen.
But please don't start in actuality until you know how to overcome the things that made them fail. And let me tell you something. There will always be challenges. If you believe that, say no. Let me tell you something you should believe more. For every challenge that's coming, God has prepared enough wisdom to overcome them.
Amen.
Therefore, when you see challenges, 20,000 soldiers, don't run. Go and pray. And don't pray. You know, that's what I'm teaching today. Don't pray, God. You shall kill, as it were, by your spirit and your mighty arm, the 20,000 people. He might. Don't ask him to do it. just ask for deliverance. What he gives most of the time is wisdom, by which 10,000 that you have will overcome 20,000 coming against you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But please, it is not faith, it's absolute presumption. Just get up. See, yes, they all fail, but I shall succeed. I shall succeed. You pay for rent, for the shop. I shall succeed. I shall succeed. You don't settle down to this. I'm not saying you should not do it. Like I said, Jesus didn't say wrong. But get there and find out whether with 10,000 you can overcome. And that's what prayer does for you. What am I saying? By the time David stepped out to kill Goliath, that's what I'm saying. He knew how he would kill Goliath. He knew how. He had his reason for picking 5 stones. And he was not naming the names of God like we have, you know, we've sensationalized that. You know, like, Jehovah Jireh didn't do it, Jehovah Shekinah will do it. Jehovah Shekinah didn't do it, Jehovah Shekinah will do it. Jehovah Shekinah didn't do it, the man don't calculate. How many stones can I sling in this period of time? Hey, listen, let me tell you, go and watch warfare movies. You will see, you don't release, I mean, maybe like, remember the submarine fighting, dog fighting that's fighting in the sky. You know when to release, so that you don't knock yourself out of the sky. I'm serious, you know this supersonic jet. If you shoot your missile, you can overtake your missile and knock you down. Yeah. You have to know when to release, when to bank. You know, those things. David too knew it. My odds of missing is nothing more than that fight. It's the know-how. The man don't listen and say, how long does it take me to reload? Because I didn't think it was a good one. How far can I shoot? Can I shoot from where I am across 1 kilometer to where he is? No, so let me move closer. Where does it take the aim? I think I can sling from a further distance than he can shoot his javelin from. And if I miss the first one, how fast can I know? Those are the things the man was reasoning. Somebody told him that, look, you see, you can take this man. They said, wear an armor. He said, an armor is not necessary. You will not have the chance to lift his spear. I don't know where I get my point.
Yes, sir.
You know, one more to interpret it now. We just get up and say, no, I don't need an armor. Hey, yeah, shoot me. That was not what David did. They said, take an armor. He said, it's not necessary. The man will not have the opportunity to lift his spear. Watch me. Wisdom. That was what God gave him. Do you get what I'm saying? And as believers, that's what we go for. I don't believe that God wanted us to look like sad people. So where are they? This is why I'm looking for us. They are Christians. They're always looking sad. They go to church to go and make themselves happy. Always pray for one day that will come that we have not seen all these years. No, I know what I think. The word glory. Eh? This is how it is. Even if you don't want to look, the brightness will disturb your sight. You know what I mean? This is the glory of God. When Solomon, are you getting my point? When Solomon was king, people were traveling from far away to come and listen to him talk. His court sessions were tourist attractions. That Solomon is going to see tomorrow, people are fighting to get Israeli visa. All flights booked. All hotels around Jerusalem occupied. Why? Solomon is sitting tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please, hear what I'm saying very clearly. So Christians, when I met, what God expects is that they say, ah, that guy is so good. How come I'm saying, you know he's a Christian? I'm saying, oh, that explains it. That's what God is expecting. Christianity is how to do things that people, now listen, you know Ben Carson, you read the story. There's nothing Ben Carson did by, hey, we just enter the theater. We began to pray. Hey, shaka, ba, 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 ba. As we pray, the teacher just coming up. He's coming up. And the vision was getting healed. When you want that, go to Benihin's cuisine. You enter Benkase's surgery. He has to be able to demonstrate to his colleagues the scientific sense in everything he's doing. The wisdom of God is that God will give you the ability to understand what others don't understand. But by the time he has finished using it, he'll be able to teach them. That's how come that David was not the only one that killed Goliath. All his boys were eating giants for breakfast. By the time David was through with Goliath, one Goliath he come, or another giant said, well, what's your name? He said, I'm Goliath's brother. Job. He keeps going. He knows Job will do it. But I already taught him how to do it. Oh God, the Lord is good. How will you follow me up to this point?
Yes, sir.
Listen, don't ever forget, Christians, I said, we know what we think. I went through all of that, talking about this 10,000 and 20,000 matter. That Jesus did not say we should run. No. He said we reason. We reason. It is possible in this country to buy a company worth $1 billion. You know, when we started, we had only 10,000 naira. It's possible. How? I don't know. But if you go home, God gives you the ability, that's what I'm saying. The miracle is that you will find out how. Are you getting what I'm saying? Good. So let's continue. Now, what was I saying before I read that song? Can anybody remember? Come here, I can't remember. I'm not like doing it. But don't worry, let us continue preaching. Because I know what I came here to preach today. Let me go back to it. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So we're asking the question. So Jesus said, if any man, I was saying, okay, we're talking about the day matter, I can't remember that. So the building of the tower, we say, is a matter of money. Is it right for a Christian, therefore, to plan how to build a tower? The answer is yes. It should. I told you something earlier, and I thought about it, and I think maybe that's one of the reasons why God raised me up. To be able to tell people this. We Christians, we the Church of God, we have popularized sensational testimonies. How many of you have heard of George Muller? Go around an orphanage without any money. Yes. And the money they will sit around the table. They say, where is breakfast? They say, there's no, they also ask on the table. And then they say, where is the food? They just say, the grace. The Bible says, the Father will thank for this we're about to receive. And then the door will open, and somebody will bring them food, just arrive at that point. And we will tell that story again, and again, and again, and again. Now, you know what we're trying to do? We're not certain ourselves that if we plan for the breakfast, we don't have faith. That the great man of faith is the man of Jehovah. What we don't realize is that the man around his orphanage for decades, maybe, and that experience happened once. And you hear what I'm saying? Like I say all the time, we read the Bible. How many times did Jesus go on water? Some said once, some said twice. Who says three times? Three times going once, three times going twice. So nobody says three times. Before resurrection was once, after resurrection, another time. Right. Let's say before resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Did he not know that as a son of God, he had the ability to walk on water? Then why was he begging Peter, follow me your boat? Are you seeing what I'm saying? We unconsciously tell ourselves that, praise God, as Christians, we don't need no boats. We just step on the water and begin to float. Hallelujah! We have taught ourselves that that's how to live life. Let me tell you something earlier, I said earlier, to amplify it. When I said, a young man does not have to be rich to get married, I did not say, when he marries, God shall put him inside a mansion. That is what I just meant is that when the marriage is finished, he should be ready to sleep in his one room apartment. That's what I said. myself. When the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, I used to have explained something to you before. That if I have 10,000 naira and an offering is being taken, a special offering for a special need, or for as in a church or an individual need, and I decide to give 6,000 naira, it is not faith, listen to me, that I'm believing God that God will give me 50,000 back because I just sowed the seed. That is not faith. It is foolishness. It is stupidity. It is called tempting the Lord thy God. You know what faith is? Faith is I have given the 6,000. I will tap into grace to manage before. You hear what I said? I will tap into grace to manage the 4,000. I can't guarantee that God will bring 10,000 back. But I know He won't let me die. So, as I'm giving the 6,000, I wanted to have to manage the 4,000. I told before that people said that, you know, students know how to give. I said, yes, because they don't have to work on money. Why did I say so? Real giving is a man who knows I can't beg anybody. So by the time I give, I've already skimmed how to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Manage the balance. What am I saying? That is, maybe I wanted to take my wife and my children for holiday. Then the money for the holiday, I gave as an offering. I've already prayed for wisdom to explain to my wife and my children, since they're not going anywhere. Now listen to me. If God now decides that, bank, that was impressive, your dependence upon me. Therefore, where would you want to go to go? I wanted to go to Lagos. So now I shall send it to Switzerland. Do you understand my point? That is good. That is His own to decide. Amen?
Amen.
Now, oftentimes, God will do something like that. People will now come and testify. Say, praise God. When that man gave the 6,000 money for his children's holiday, the Lord took him to Switzerland. Who wants to go to Switzerland right now? Begin to give. Begin to give. Because they good, I'll collect that money, take everybody, everywhere. About me, 12 of you are going. Now, please, I hope you're not honest. I'm going to look at something here. So, when we are planning as believers, that's what I'm saying. These are the things Paul talk about denying the flesh. Are you getting my point? Not being worldly, that's what they mean. But we, not willing to deny the flesh, we have come God into a man who quickly multiply it. So that giving is no longer giving that has become investing. Do you follow my point? Now, so, let me just continue. I'm going to bring up something here. So, when a man settles down, therefore, I want to make a decision. These are the things he puts together to make his decision. He has made up his mind. Alright? If I give this amount, this way, I'm going to manage. God will give me the wisdom on how to manage it. Do you follow that? Please, do you follow that? It's important. That's what I mean. It's in planning. But let me answer that question I was trying to answer. Is it okay for a Christian to say he wants to build a tower? Should he say to build a tower? I cannot give a yes or no answer. But I'll tell you something. If he does not know how, with his current flow of cash, he will build that tower, he should not start. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what I get about. You want to invest in a project, that's why people don't go and borrow money to take a risky venture, don't know how to pay back. It's wrong, Christians should do that. Is borrowing wrong? No. It's reason to pay back that sin. Or, you know, there are three ways by which people know that. You know the thing is not guaranteed. Yet you borrow money to start it. So when you think collapse, you tell the person, you know, I did it, your money, it's a business that hates it. If you are taking a risk, take it with your woman. Or, explain to the other person, let him risk his money in investing in the idea. In which case, you don't borrow his money. You sell a part of the business to him. Do you get what I'm saying? A Christian wants to build a tower. Should he say, I don't know? But please, don't. That's what Jesus said. If you don't know how, you know, I took a lot of time to explain the principle of how. Not meaning that is what somebody may say is possible, the other person may say it's not possible. But whatever it is not Christianity not to have an idea of how and say, well, you're doing it by faith. Now, let me go back to that. I don't think that it should be Christian saying them. I said it's a daily thing. Now, I can say this categorically. It is not of faith for a man to think he can save that they should save up money to make his tomorrow secure. It's not of faith. One. Number two, it's actually very stupid. From what we have said earlier. Moth destroys, these two break in and steal. Whatever you want to do in life, do it with an understanding of divine order and the nature of God and your understanding of what God has said concerning your life. Go somewhere. However, should a Christian put money together for a project he's about to do? I have a question. How else does he plan to do it? I don't know what you're saying. Like I told you, currently, the house I live in is rented. Praise God for that. It's a scripture. Naturally, these things are all scriptures. You shall live in houses you did not build. It's the word of God. There are different levels of fulfillment of scriptures. That's one level. Alright? Now I know my rent is due in the short while. I know how much I earn in a month. I know how much financial flow God has passed through our hands as a family, my wife and I. I know the trend. It is not faith for me not to start making preparation to see my land. It's actually irresponsible. Let me say it again. If you go somewhere and you want to rent it till next week, then I'm just trusting God. There are no more issues. Ask him, what happened? Did you lose your job? Now, if the job has his job, that trusting God is reasonable. Are you getting what I'm saying? If business suddenly bad, you know, maybe the last few months, that trusting God is reasonable. Are you getting what I'm saying? If NLC declares strike and government says no work, no pay, that trusting God is what? Reasonable. Now, but if none of these things happen, and the man still tells a kind of his trusting God, and they say, what happened? He said, I don't know me. I don't take any thought for tomorrow. What I shall eat? With what money shall I be my landlord? Slap him on my behalf. You see, you should tell him simply, what is wrong with you? You know how much you are earning. You knew this thing was coming up. Okay, where did the money go? Because that money you were earning went somewhere. That also. He said, you know how now. You know, I had to pay for that car. It was just a special deal, you know. I just knew that it was my time. Well, that car normally goes for 1 million. But that guy just said, I should just give you 400,000. So you gave him your landlord's money. There's no problem. Go and put the car in your landlord's compound. But you get the 400,000 to redeem it. Listen, opportunity comes but once. It's not the gospel of a blessed man. The man who is blessed, the opportunity he misses today, will come back tomorrow. So if you know that money is from your landlord, cross. Even if they say this is a Lamborghini contract, it's normally 36 million naira. Or why people only for 1 million? See, but don't be angry. The money I have is for my landlord. Hold it in next week. How do you know God wants you to buy the car? It's when God brings extra money after you have paid the man your own. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what Jesus meant when he said, who is it that does not first down count? That is why you cannot go and rent a house that's beyond your level of income. You can't. You can't. Christians think and say, hey, I don't want power, I say. This morning I'm
enemy. It's not what God is enemy. I live beyond that. I know.
By faith, write a check one day for beyond that. If EFCC won't buy you, I will change you. Why are you risking with your money? If you can't do it with guarantee trust. I don't know why you're upset. If you say that you know you are beyond your salary, then write a check one day now. Give it to somebody. If PFC does not put you 2 years in prison with no option of fine, then you are walking by faith. Why are you using it against a man who you know can be prison? That's wickedness. Listen, if you want to start a business, listen, oh God, I don't have time for all this. What I want to say is this. If it's going to cost ₦1,000,000 and all you can save in a month is 1,000, you should know that you have to pray hard. Yes, you know you have to pray hard and use what? Wisdom. But let us assume you earn ₦500,000 every month and the business is just ₦2,000,000. You don't need that kind of prayer. You need to call your wife, your children, and explain to them from now on nobody drinks milk in this house. Just for 6 months. All phone calls must be sanctioned before they leave your phone. It's called austerity measure. Are you getting what I'm saying? Arrange your friends and do it. Is that what they got it? Contribute money for 6 months. Yes! Listen, I hope you get what I'm saying. It's not a key. That's what the Bible calls today. That is what? Today. I told you something before. There's God's work and the work He has given you. For example, when I'm paying children's school fees, I can't remember praying about it. Yeah, really. In fact, in recent times, so you know what? I really can't remember actively praying about the car I'm going to buy. Yeah, no, really, as God is my what I mean by actively saying, God, please bring money, please bring money. I pray that God, I need a new car, I trust Him, but believe me, I paid everything from the income that I was not surprised to get. I knew it was for me. I knew I was being good money. I don't know what I got from this. But there was a time that I did not have a car. People said, save money to buy a car. I said, God forbid, but nothing. Because I was earning like ₦12,000 a month and the decent car was ₦200,000. I have discovered that everything has value. I tell my wife that all the time. You know that everything has value. The car has value. Trekking has value. And the disturbance of soul to get the car has value. When I put everything together, I realized what I was investing in trying to get a ₦40,000 car was actually ₦1,000,000 in reality. By the time I can't change my belt, when they say bring bread, you want egg, you say no, just eat the bread water. I weighed all those things, I said no. Say bread, what are you going to do? I said, I'll enter your boss. And then I entered my boss with pride. There was no shame in it. How are you coming? Why did you reach my house? Somebody said to me that we are going to your in-law's place, go with the car. I said, I have been there. I went with the bike and nothing happened. They did not drive me. I hope you get my point. They didn't drive me. I knew how to get around the neighbors very well. I will tell you what the bus stops, where to go jump from. But when I got to Enugu, I don't know bus stop. Till now, people tell me that, how do I get to your house? I can't tell you the way by which you drive there. Because I drove out of Lagos into Enugu, and since then, in Enugu, I think I've entered bus. I can count the number I entered the bus inside this Enugu. I can. That's why bus everything put together. And when they now brought the taxi, that will just end it. But, so even all my cars died, I would call it taxi. But there was a time, my brethren, all this fuel crisis struggle in Lagos did not affect me. It did not. And it was not a matter of prayer. If I used to do something, I would just stand on the bridge. Rondo Cell, Rondo Express. And look, I said, oh, wow, who this car is passing by? Who never put cash for a woman? I used to do that. Let me say, good. This car is moving. So, your car is moving as well. Now, what for you, shall we? You know that kind of thing. And that's the end of it. There was no shame in that. But as for me to be saving money, one of my friends told me that the bank you have to try. I said, try what? It's all this money you are giving out to stop it. I said, ah! Who's on that head? And I'm over. I will not walk in lack of it because of what? Because Bishop Oyedepo said, "Thief can carry two."
That's fire.
So I reasoned that the investment into it was not worth it for me. Therefore, I just married my wife for pride. He said, the midst of the check. But there was one car I wanted to buy at the time. I felt like I could afford this. It was going for maybe 7,000 naira. So I told one of my friends, I have 35, you should bring 35. Let me I'll get 35 back after. She said, I was the car, like I described it for him. He said, "Man." So he says, "Yes. Who does that mind? You know that my car?" I said, "Yes." We were at the wedding. He said, "Okay, like this car then, man." He says, "Who does that one?" I said, That one is far better than this one. You see, monkey. You can't tell me all the travails that my soul go through by that car. And then after that, it didn't make anything happen. Now I went on strike. 5 months, I didn't receive one salary. The idea, in fact, I didn't need to pray to reject the idea. The idea dissolved from my soul by itself. Now I recover from the strike. I had to go for my final exams, postgraduate. 3 months later, I married my wife. So the concept of dreaming of arranging money to buy a car disappeared by force. But the real story there is that I understood Chokwele what people love you. And Jesus said it like this: a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Let me add that one to close. Now imagine this day and age. You have a very decent job, a good job, they pay you well. And Kia offers you a nice car at a low interest rate. Pay them on top of it ahead, spread the rest over the rest of the salary. I'm not going to answer the question whether it's right to take or not. I think you have enough sense to know whether it's right to take. It's not right to take. But believe me, as a banker, you will take it. Yes, I will. But if I'm going to take half of my salary to pay the money, I won't. If it's convenient, I mean, what am I saying? It's reasonable. It was actually a Christian born, I said, what is wrong? Is a Christian who is not paying. So if you know you can't pay, don't try. If you know you will try and pay, don't try. If you know that maybe if things work out, you can pay, don't try. But if you know by record of what God has been doing with you in recent times, please go ahead. And please, if you're a pastor, it is wickedness to put yourself in jeopardy first. Then stand on the pulpit. Say, brethren, because of you people, I'm not sleeping. Because of you, now you know we're not paying that kind of way, I'm not paying. It's not good. Say, Rainbow has been phoning us. We can't sleep again. I pray to you. It's not right. I tell ministers, what you can't do in your business, don't do it in the church. And you know what I'm saying? Listen. Watch what I know what God has been doing in our lives.